Good day, friends. As we take a look at the Bible on the broadcast this time, we want to simply go to the ministry of Christ. Last time on the broadcast, we talked about the message of Jesus and how he had a wonderful message to the world, telling men to turn from their sins in complete repentance and to obey from their heart that glorious gospel of Christ. We're aware of the fact that when we look at the personal ministry of Jesus, that we understand that he taught that people should hear the word, believe it, repent of their sins. He announced confession in Matthew 10:32 when he said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." We understand that Jesus linked baptism with salvation, for in Mark 16:16, after he had said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," in that wonderful verse, the 16th verse, that 16th chapter of Mark, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Jesus knew that if an individual would not believe his marvelous story and the proclamation by the apostles, they would never complete their obedience. And consequently, if belief was not a part of their life, since it is the foundation of everything that we do to become a Christian, they would never become a child of God. I find it interesting when we look at the ministry of Christ because it is different from ministries that were performed by other religious leaders. You know, I am sure that there are many commendable things that are found in religions of the world, but we're aware of the fact that Jesus Christ is the only one truly who can be recognized as the Son of the living God. When you read John 3:16 next time, think of the magnitude of that marvelous passage. "When it was God who so loved the world, a world in sin, that he gave his only begotten Son," that's the marvelous gesture of his grace, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, the ministry of Jesus taught people that belief was not limited to what we say, but actually it was proven by what we do. That's the word works as it appears time and time again in the New Testament. In researching the wonderful word works, telling us that our faith would be dead unless it has works, we think of righteous deeds of obedience. And we also think without contradiction from the Word of God that our works truly must be looked upon as an action of our faith. You see, this puts it not as a work of man, but as a work that is directed truly by the teaching of God's Word. Jesus in his personal ministry answered the question in the 6th chapter of John when he was asked in verse 28, "What might we do that we would do the works of God?" And then he said the work of God was that we should believe upon him. So the point is that our belief is the foundation of the whole thing. But what I want to do on the broadcast today is take an excerpt from the wonderful ministry of Jesus to note how that he put into practice those things that truly were believed. I'd like to take the story, the accounting that's found in the 20th chapter of Matthew, and one reason I selected this on the broadcast today is because I'm sure that there are many who know this account. And I want you to think of it as we read it and as we try to digest it, of how Jesus is telling people to put their faith to work. In the 20th verse of this outstanding chapter, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her two sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left in thy kingdom." Now notice how Jesus handles this request of a mother for her sons. "But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask." And then he offers some questions that I don't know whether they really realize what the questions meant or not. The first one is, in verse 22, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. He saith unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." Now I want you to notice that. The thing that's going to be great is the fact that God hath prepared a certain place for us. Jesus alluded to this in the 14th chapter of John, where he announced to his apostle body that he was going to leave them. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God. In my Father's house are many mansions or many places, many rooms." And he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." He said, "If I wasn't going to prepare a place for you, I wouldn't announce this, but," he said, "I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And, of course, the point was that he spoke of a way that was plain, and then one of the apostles, Thomas, simply said, "Lord, how can we know the way?" And in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh through the Father but by me." Now, what I'm trying to deal with here is the preparation that God hath made for our position in the kingdom, and even our position in heaven, is dependent upon how we respond to his marvelous grace with a living faith. Well, after they'd made this request, and Jesus had talked to the mother of James and John, the 10 apostles, the other ones, heard it, and they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Now notice how Jesus handles this in verse 25. "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Now here's the example. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The ministry of Jesus was a service, and that's what the word minister implies. You know, it grieves my heart when I look at the Bible, and then I look a lot of times at the religious scene today. I walk by a church building, and with all due respect to the people who meet there, I certainly am sure that they're honest. I'm willing to give them the benefit of a doubt. I am all people until they prove to me, beyond a doubt, that they are other than honest. I'll let the Lord decide the honesty of their heart in the final analysis, because that's his business. But I walk by a church building, and on the marquee I see a certain man's name as the pastor or as the minister. One lady said to me one time, she said, "You know, when I see that, is that a commentary of the people that meet there?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "You know, the word minister really is not used as a title in the Bible. It's actually used as a service that is to be performed." Paul said to Timotheus in a very definite manner in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, he said, "You do the work of an evangelist, you may full proof of your ministry." But you see, the mistaken idea is to think that the only minister or the only servant that the church has is the preacher, is the evangelist, is one who proclaims the gospel. Now, I don't believe those people who meet in that church building really believe that. So what are we saying? We're simply saying that the ministry of Christ is that everyone who becomes a Christian becomes a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, we're sons of God, but we truly are servants of righteousness. I want to give you a reference on that we've given on past broadcasts in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, writing to Christians. So get this point in your mind, and if you're having trouble with this, or if you're misunderstanding it, here's a good passage or a sequence to think about. Paul said, "God be thanked, though you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." So what Jesus was saying here, that if you're going to be great, you're going to have to be a servant. And the one who's going to be great among you, let him be your minister, let him be your servant. That's not a title, it's an action. It's a term. As saints in Christ Jesus are children of God, they truly are ministers, they are servants. And here's the example of the type of servitude. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Can't you see that the action of Jesus' life proved his love for the human family? It proved a very important asset of faith itself. I read the other day in Galatians 5 and 6 that Paul was writing to the Galatian brethren in that Roman province and simply reminding them that their faith would work by love. And that's the teaching of Christ, too, because in John 14 and 15, that same wonderful 14th chapter of John, he just simply said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then John later wrote, under influence of the Holy Spirit, in 2 John verse 6, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you this morning that if you are a Christian, be sure that you are serving. Be sure that your faith is made alive by the things that you do that are in harmony with his will. In other words, the work of your life for the Lord, the service of your life for the Lord, is an action of your faith. So this may be a challenge to your thinking today. If you're not a Christian, what are you going to become when you obey the gospel? You're going to become a servant of righteousness. Your life and my life, regardless of what ability we have or talent we have, is truly in service. I talked to a man who worked for an outstanding railroad years ago, and he said the thing that impressed him about that railroad was actually the title that they used in their advertising. It was simply a statement that said, service is our business. This man was a Christian, and I'm sure that he not alone took that with him on the job, but he took it into every facet of life. You may have questions about this subject. We'd ask you to send them in without cost or obligation. We'll send you an answer. We may not be able to answer your question, but we'll try. The answer's in the Word of God. The ministry of Christ is let us serve others. Let's serve him here, that we might live with him there. May God bless us as we obey the marvelous truth that is able to make all men free from sin. Be with us on the broadcast next time as we're going to talk about one of the great actions of Jesus during his life upon this earth that had a repercussion down through the canon of years. It's a wonderful teaching. Tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast and be with us if you can. May God help us through the week that lies ahead.